Morning. Will you join me in the call to worship? Turn it in the bulletin. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. May we all join in our song of worship, number 177. May we bow our heads for the invocation. Creating God, give us new opportunities to live in the fullness of your love. Forgiving God, deliver us from all that keeps us from you. Draw us close to you. By your love, make us a righteous people. Teach us to shout for joy as we rejoice in your grace. Amen. May we pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning and welcome. As we've gathered here for worship today, we're glad you're here. We have some people that are guests with us this morning, and you're especially welcome. If you would, you'll find a visitor's card in the pew rack in front of you. You can take that and fill it out and put it in the offering plate a little bit later on. But we want you to know that we're glad and delighted that you've come to worship with us today. There are some announcements that we would like to make, some things going on in the life of the church. We did reach our goal for the retired missionaries and ministers offering. I think it's supposed to be ministers and missionaries, but M and M, it doesn't matter, right? $740, and we are thankful for all who gave. Our January missions emphasis is twofold. One for the place of warmth, which takes place at Zion, a couple of doors down, on cold nights, where they provide a place for homeless men to shelter. And we have contributed 30 takeout bags that have things that they can take with them when they leave in the morning, particularly food, that they will sort of have something with them during the day. And we are thankful for those who helped us to collect those items. And you can still bring items in. We can give more because obviously it's still cold outside and those might be needed. Also, we're spending the month of January collecting items for Family Promise, which is a shelter for women and children. And they need, and you can see this in your bulletin, there's a list of personal hygiene items and things like that that we can take over, and it would be very helpful to them. Also, coming up is the Martin Luther King worship service and breakfast. The worship service is next Sunday at 3 at Methodist Theological Seminary, 3 o'clock next Sunday afternoon, for those of you who are interested. And then on Monday morning, the Martin Luther King breakfast is at Ohio Wesleyan, just up at the top of the hill, a few blocks away. And we, our deacons, have always sponsored a table, so we have room for 8 people. Anybody who wants to come and have breakfast with us on Monday morning, January the 16th, you're welcome to come. Just let me know. And if it turns out that we have more than 8 people, we can do that too. There's a way to handle that. So please feel free. I think I've touched upon everything, except Randy has an announcement that he would like to make.
If you've not already picked them up, I just wanted to remind you that the giving statements for 2016 are out there and they're ready. And also the envelopes did come this past week and we got those ready. And you'll notice that some of the numbers have changed. And so don't get confused when your 2016 number doesn't match your 2016 giving statement, because it's actually your 2017 number. There's various reasons for that, which would take too long to go into. But the numbers were already changed before that printout was made. So then the other thing is that I would just like to remind folks that our pledge statements serve more than just the purpose of planning and things like that for the congregation. We also do not have what we call a unified budget. In other words, we give to the general fund unless you specify that it goes to something else. So if you wish to give to missions or to capital improvements, you need to specify that or give me a pledge statement that indicates that. Thank you.
Thank you. Last Sunday was New Year's Day, and so we did not have a prayer of dedication for our officers for the new year, so we would like to do that now. And I think what we'll do is I will just tell you who our officers are, and if your name is mentioned, stand up, and you can stand where you are and remain standing until we finish having our prayer. There will be some people whose names I mentioned who are not here today, but I want you to know who they are. Moderator is Randy Turner. Assistant moderator is Gene Eckleberry. The clerk is Lana Palmer. The treasurer is Larry Falk. The assistant financial secretary is Linda White. The church school clerk is Pam Falk. And she is on the board of Christian Ed, along with Pat Gosser and Pam Shears. The deacons are Dave Lovell, Larry Falk, Claire Turner, and Jennifer Turner. And the trustees are Peter White, Scott Nace, Ken Shears, and Archie Trigg. And the finance chair is Deb Vogel. Let us pray. Dear God, we pray for each person that has graciously and prayerfully volunteered to serve our church this coming year. We ask that you would give them wisdom, that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit, that you would give them courage and guidance, that they might be able to see ways of doing ministry that would enrich our church. We thank you for their service. We also dedicate ourselves to serving you in our lives and also in our service to this church. And we pray that you would bless our church, that you would help us to find ways to share the gospel with our community. And we are thankful for the service that these represent and that they have given. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Our song of praise is number 2042 in the Black Hymnal. How lovely, Lord, how lovely. Shall we stand and sing together?
Remembering the word of the Lord, it is blessed, more blessed to give than receive. Will our ushers come forward? We pray. We receive the abundant gift of God's forgiveness. God has blessed us in so many ways. Rejoicing, let us bring our gifts to God. Amen.
I know that being as cold as it is outside, some people may not have come to worship today because they just felt like it was too cold. And we pray for anybody who felt like they needed to stay in and wasn't able to come. And there may be others who are sick, and we want to pray for them too. Are there other concerns that you would like to share with the congregation?
I guess my first prayer is the announcement I forgot to make, which is if I've made any mistakes, please let me know on the yellow slip and put attention. Randy Turner. The real reason, though, that I would like to have prayer this morning is because Jennifer's mom and stepdad are stuck in North Carolina because of the storm down there. They were trying to come back and worship with us this morning, so that's the reason they are not here. So weather has prevented that, and for all of the folks that are enduring that storm.
My prayers for all the people down in the Smoky Mountains, recent fire and so forth that were set down there, and prayers for those that lost their lives down there in the terrible tragedy at Fort Lauderdale Airport.
This week, there was a little girl hit by a car as she was going to school at Dempsey. She's an 8th grader, so just prayers for her and her family.
We also pray for our country and its leaders, and we pray for those who serve. Let us bow together in prayer. Oh God, we are grateful that we can speak aloud these concerns on our hearts about things that are going on in our lives and in the world. Some of the things bring us great joy, and we are thankful. Some of the things cause us anxiety, and we must confess that this anxiety weighs on us and concerns us. We know that you are trustworthy and that you will take care of us, that you have given to each of us this gift of life, and you have promised us forgiveness and eternal life. And we pray that you would give us peace in times of anxiety. We pray also that you would give us purpose and meaning in our lives, that we would have a sense that the things we are doing are meaningful, that the relationships we are making and the friends we have and our families, that in those relationships we are important and we are helping other people and they are helping us. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for purpose. We ask that you would give us peace. We are thankful that you have spoken to us, and we ask that you would speak to us through the things we do as when we come to church, through the hymns, through the preaching, through the reading of Scripture, but also that you would speak to us in ways that are unique to each one, where we work, where we play, and in our homes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our song of meditation is number 2071, Jesus, name above all names. Let us stand and sing together.
Our scripture reading for today is Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, beloved, with whom I am well pleased." May God add a blessing to all those who have heard this, the reading of His holy word.
A few years ago, when I still lived in Illinois and worked at the Home Depot, I was in the break room reading a book called Unbroken. Some of you have probably seen that book or heard of it. It is the story about Louis Zamperini, who was an American Olympic distance runner in the 1930s, who in the 1940s was taken prisoner, among other things that happened to him, by the Japanese in World War II. Perhaps some of you saw the movie that came out a couple of years ago that describes his story. Zamperini was singled out by the Japanese because they recognized him as an Olympian, and so they were particularly violent in their beatings and their torture of him over many of the other prisoners. And the truth is, they weren't very good with the other prisoners either. After the war, he claimed that he was so angry that his sole purpose in life was to save up enough money so that he could go back to Japan and hunt down those prison guards and kill them for what they had done to him. There was one in particular, I think, that he was wanting revenge. But before he had a chance to do that, he had a religious experience at a Billy Graham crusade in Los Angeles, after which he said that he never again experienced the human emotion of anger. He lived until just a year or two ago and was almost 100 years old before he died, so that he spent 65 years after that experience without having experienced anger. So that when he finally did go back to Japan to visit with some of the guards who had beaten him, it was to forgive them rather than to kill them. One of my coworkers in the break room asked me what I was reading, and I told him the story, and when I got to the part about the forgiveness, he said, "No way. Not me. Not if that happened to me." And I had this feeling like the conversation was over at that point, and that he had somehow missed the point. I wondered a little bit in disbelief at his refusal at least to be amazed, if not inspired, by this one man's miraculous journey from obsessive anger to amazing grace. The word epiphany means to appear, and Epiphany was Friday in the liturgical Christian calendar. So this is the first Sunday in the season after Epiphany. And it refers to the events that surround the appearance of Jesus as a human being on this earth, but not just the incarnation that is associated with the birth of Christ, but also the appearance of Jesus in Galilee 30 years later as a proclaimer of God's truth, as a teacher and worker of miracles. Among the events that are celebrated during the time of Epiphany are the visit of the Magi, but also the wedding at Cana in Galilee, where Jesus turned water into wine, and the baptism of Jesus by John in the Jordan River. And that is the one that it is our task for today to understand. What does it mean for us that Jesus was baptized? There are some things to mention that may help us in our questioning. What does it mean that Jesus was baptized? And it means something more than just the literal act of having been baptized. In the Gospels, care is taken to present Jesus in line with and in accord with the prophetic tradition of Israel. And in his time, there was no better person that exemplified that tradition than John the Baptist. So it is significant that Jesus was a part of that movement. Part of what it means that he was baptized is he was a disciple of John the Baptist, at least for a while. But part of the the prophetic tradition of Israel involves some passages in the book of Isaiah known as the suffering servant passages or the servant songs, in which the Lord's servant is portrayed as a bringer of righteousness and redemption and justice, only not by force, not by conquering, but instead by sacrifice and by suffering. One such passage is interesting, and I think perhaps it would be good for us to hear it. It comes from the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, which reads, "Here is my servant. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged until he establishes justice on earth." And then it goes on as if to speak directly to him. "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, and I will make you to be a covenant for your people, a light to the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free the captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness." So we see that in the Gospels, where the Jewish prophetic tradition and this emphasis on the suffering servant is connected with Jesus. It's connected with Jesus because he joins the movement of John, who is in the tradition of the prophets, and because when he was baptized, the description of the baptism is that at that point, when he came up out of the water, the skies opened to him, and the Holy Spirit came down and descended upon him, and he heard a voice that said, "This is my Son, whom I love." This connection to this tradition shines a light on the biblical themes of sonship and of righteousness and justice. And so if we're going to understand what it means that Jesus was baptized, perhaps it would be good for us to talk about those things for a minute or two. One of the central components of Christianity is that Jesus is God's Son. This is an idea that we should think about for a minute. Being intimately related to God stands in contrast to the idea that there is a great gulf or distance between the divine and the human. The gospel discovery is that this distance has been overcome, even to the point where the early Christians not only thought that Jesus is God's Son, but they made the claim that we too are God's children, that the great distance between God and human beings applies to us when it has been overcome. This idea is explained by Paul, for instance, in Romans chapter 8, where he writes, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, which means Father. And the Spirit testifies with our spirits that we are God's children." That is something that's emphasized here in the baptism, and also this emphasis on righteousness and justice. What does that mean? The biblical emphasis on righteousness is an expression of the great human hope that the world's life will somehow be made right, that there will be an end to pain and suffering, the pain and suffering that's caused by poverty and war, by disease and injustice, an end, that there will be an end to deceit and corruption, and that the truth about things will come out, so that we'll know which conspiracy theories to believe and which ones to reject, and that the systems of power and wealth will be fair and apply not only to the powerful and the wealthy, but to everyone. This is a biblical hope, but it's also a biblical promise. And by being associated with the prophets, Jesus is adopting it. He's taking it upon himself so that it is good for us to see him in that light. Even though we must admit that there are only partial and sometimes twisted versions of justice in the world today. The point is that we are promised a better justice, a better righteousness. And that promise is transforming. On a personal level, we experience the pull towards righteousness when we consider things like forgiveness, like we talked about before. There are times in relationships when people do confounding things that break the bonds of love between people. And I think the way prison of war guards treated the prisoners is just the tip of the iceberg. I am sure that we could think of many other ways in which human beings work against God's love. And when we hear about this kind of forgiveness, the forgiveness of sin that John the Baptist preached and that Jesus preached, we know that it is right. But I think we have to admit that sometimes, even though we know it is right, we take it the way my friend in the break room at the Home Depot took it. When we have been greatly harmed, it's really hard. Sometimes we wonder in disbelief at our own failures to forgive and to be forgiven. When we think about these things, I think we're just often disappointed because they're not a part of the world's reality, and we are suspicious that they're not going to become a part of the world's reality in the near future. Suspicious that our leaders can't be trusted to make them happen. Time and time again, we've been let down by them and by ourselves, so that we come to despair for righteousness rather than to hope for it, which is the biblical hope. But let me get back to the question of baptism. To be baptized, of course, means to be immersed in something. It means to be swallowed up in something. If it is water, then what you get is all wet. And I think there are some people who think the Baptists are all wet, because we're the ones that put the person all the way in. But it's a symbolic meaning. When you get all wet, it's like taking a bath. It symbolizes cleansing, and our baptism does not symbolize the cleansing of the outside of the body, but the inner person, inner cleansing. But it's hard to leave it there, because it's hard to understand with our theology why Jesus needed to be baptized. Because this isn't just baptism in general that we're talking about, but the baptism of Jesus, who was sinless. So maybe if we look at the other aspect of the meaning of baptism, just being swallowed up or all wrapped up by something, to be immersed. And a person can be immersed in many different things. We can be immersed in our work. We can be immersed in our family relationships. We can be immersed in our pursuits of pleasure. We can be immersed in games we play. We can be immersed in hobbies. The baptism of Jesus means that he was all wrapped up in the life of this world. And that's an important thing to say, that this is God immersed in the life of this world. And our baptism in Christ means that we are immersed in his life. After all, it is into our world, into this life that he was baptized, so that the coming together of the life of the world and of God's life happens in Jesus. And it also happens because of our baptism in us, which means that we are a part of God's life. To tell you the truth, when I was working on this all week long, everything got all muddled in my mind. Is it okay for me to say that? All this talk about sonship and righteousness and baptism, and Louis Zamperini. So that I was still working through this in my mind this morning when I got up. Let me see if I can try and unmuddle it a little. The promise of the gospel is that our despair is temporary, and that justice and mercy prevail in the end. There are some things I think perhaps we ought not to have to say, but we do need to say them because we need to hear them. It doesn't seem like we ought to have to do all of this with all these church buildings and denominations and pipe organs and praise bands and mission offerings and evangelism conferences and Sunday schools and social ministry teams and stained glass. Just to get together and say out loud what should be obvious, that all people everywhere are God's children and that we should love them, that we should be ready to forgive at every opportunity, not only those close to us, but even those far away, not only those who have slighted us in a kind of minor sort of way that we can overcome, but also those who've done us great harm. And that together we should make a world that is fair and kind. And that we need some help. While they may not write a book about my life, my suspicion is no one will, nor a movie either, like they did about old Zamperini, I am redeemed and forgiven just the same, and so are you. And we are each given opportunities to forgive and to serve. And that makes us part of God's life in this world, so that like Jesus, we are the Lord's servants. But that involves a transformation. We're not really cut out to be the Lord's servants. We're like my friend in the break room. No way. Not me. Not if that's what it means. But miraculously, we are changed from a no way, not me kind of unbelief into a, come to think of it, haven't experienced the emotion of anger in 65 years kind of faithfulness. That miracle happens. Or whatever other miracle happens to you, however you would describe the miracle of God's grace in your life. And our lives become miraculous journeys like those before us. That's what it means that Jesus was baptized. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for that miracle in each of our lives, for the ones who've never experienced it. We pray that they would be introduced to your grace. But for those of us who have been in the faith for a long time, we pray that that faith would be strengthened and renewed. We pray that our hope would be restored and that our despair would fade away. And we pray that no matter what happens, we would find the strength to serve you. In Christ's name, amen. Our song of dedication this morning is number 370, which is Teach Me Thy Will. And you are invited to dedicate your life to Christ by faith, or to rededicate your life to Christ in faith as we stand and sing this morning. And now, O Lord, into this world that you were baptized in, let us go in grace and peace. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.